We're doing our dating series and we're continuing with the practicum. So what we've discussed thus far is a person's dating out of equilibrium, the importance of a person reaching a certain state of equilibrium, of knowing where he's holding before a person starts dating. We discussed a special class about the irreligious aspects of Jewish dating, that there have to be certain understandings that exist irrespective of one's ups and downs, certain things that are going to be given in the house, and a person has to be able to commit to those before one can consider dating. We discussed how one gets shiduchim, and we discussed verifying about shiduchim. We discussed talking to rabbeim and not talking to rabbeim, talking to roommates. We discussed how one should take notes and write down what one hears, and how one should always try to get more information before one dates. The importance of verifying more and dating less. If you can rule out certain girls by finding out information, you've saved yourself time and anguish, and them, you've saved time and anguish. And now we're basically ready to begin. So someone comes over to you and tells you, I thought of a girl that I think might be good for you. So I think we mentioned already, it's important to be open-minded to hearing an offer from anyone. Don't assume that the offer has to come from someone who knows you very, very well. I've seen many instances where people were read their wives. They were set up with their wives by someone who had their first conversation with them as they were setting up their wives. So take each one at face value. If someone wants to set you up with a girl, verify the information, and don't think it will necessarily work just because the one who's setting you up knows you very well. And don't think it won't work just because they don't know you at all. Either way can work either way. Check out each one by its own merits and demerits. It's important, out of menschlichkeit, just being a decent human being, that if someone takes the time to try and set you up with someone, to show appreciation and to call back and give a response. If you're interested, good. If you're not interested, also good. Anything is legitimate. You verify about the girl and you come to the conclusion that it makes sense to you. Now, I always try to ensure that I ask the guy before I ask the girl. For the simple reason that girls take it far more to heart if they are told no. So, at least, if he doesn't think it's for him, he should say no. If he thinks it's for him, then I'll ask the girl. And if she thinks it makes sense, then I'll set them up. So, you call back the shadchan after 2 or 3 days and you tell him, look, I checked out the information and it makes sense to me. I'll be very happy if you set us up. And then hopefully the shadchan goes in this order. He goes and talks to the girl. When you talk to the shadchan, you should give him references. Who could tell about you? If you want to give me as a reference, you could, assuming I know you. I won't lie on your behalf. I try to be very honest. I think it's way too serious to play games. So if you're going to give my number, just know that I'm very limited in what I know about you, and I say that to the girl as well. I think it's fair to give a Rebbe's number. It's a good idea. But it's also fair to give a friend's number, someone who knows you. And I recommend also someone who knows the family. And when you find out about a girl, I always ask for names of people who know the family as well, because that gives you a picture. I'll give you an example. They want to set you up with a girl, and they tell you, she's a great girl. She's very Torah-y. She wants someone who's going to learn, work a little bit on the side, but learning Torah is very important to her. And I'm ready to set you up. Everything seems to match. Now, you might say, yes, sounds good. I'll give you two scenarios. One scenario, they tell you, she has a sister who's married, living here in Israel. Her husband works most of the day. He learns at night. She has another sister. She's not yet married, but she's going to Michlala. Her parents are both observant, and her father runs a little makolet, and her mother teaches, let's say, Judaic studies in one of the universities. Fine, sounds decent, right? This is what you'd like to think when you hear only a description of the girl. But remember that the description could also go as follows. Her mother's in an insane asylum. Her father has spent the last 15 years drunk. She has one sister who's incarcerated in New Zealand. She has another brother who's doing drugs off of Baca. She just came to Israel now. And she has another sister who no one knows where she's been for the last few years. If you didn't ask about the family, either option is equally viable. You have no idea. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't date a girl who has the description that's the second description, but At least you should know that's what you're dating.
She
might be the most wonderful girl in the world. But when you have a picture that she comes from a certain very unstable background, then you at least have what to think about. If you didn't ask, you have nothing to think about because you don't know. So it's very, very good. I strongly recommend you find out. Now, you should just know, one of the tricks that Shadchanim do is they say, I don't know. Imagine the second case. You say, do you know anything about the family? So he figures, if I tell him, he's got to be nuts to go out with the girl. If I say, I don't know, well, I don't know. I don't know details, how long she's been in prison, which prison exactly is she in. I don't know, okay. So one of the tricks Shadchanim can play is just to say, I don't know. I don't know anything about the family. And then, being that most guys are dying to go out, so they figure, I don't know means it's probably okay. And then they go out, and after they've been on 3 dates, and they start discussing the family, and, my sister's spending time touring different intricate parts of New Zealand. Eventually, you might hear which intricate. She likes dark places. Okay, whatever.
Dark place?
Jail. It pays to ask. You never... What?
Still, even if the situation was like this, it could be a good girl. 100%
could be a good girl. I'm not telling you not to date her. I'm just saying, you might as well know. You agree with me that if you're being offered 2 girls, and one's like this and one's like that, there's good reason to go with the first one as opposed to the second one. You might as well have family you feel comfortable visiting, that your children have role models. It's definitely a plus. I'm not saying you should mix the second girl, even though there's a lot to think about. I mean, a mother in an insane asylum, there's something to think about. A father who's been on alcohol for 15 years, that's something to think about. I mean, what kind of role models are you offering your children?
How is sister girl going to find a good husband? Did everybody say, I don't know.
She'll find another guy who also has all kinds of family that's not reflective of who he is.
Yeah, so there are two problems and one big problem.
Okay, so what she might also do is there are events where a lot of singles get together, and then what that affords is an opportunity to see someone without knowing everything that's all around them, and then people will meet her and be very impressed with who she is, and by the time they found out everything else, they'll be hook, line, and sinker. They'll be falling in love and they'll be married. that happens often enough, but you don't have to be the one to fall for that. If you don't have a choice, fine. Look, there are exceptional people who came from bad backgrounds. It says Haman's descendants sat on the highest court of Israel. We learned last week about Neron, who came to destroy Jerusalem, and his great great grandson was Rabbi Meir. Not even a great, it seems like it wasn't so many generations later, because Rabbi Meir was a disciple of Rabbi Akiva. So it was maybe his own child, son or grandson. Rabbi Meir. So you see that good people could come out of difficult backgrounds. Shmaya Naftalion. I'm not saying that a person is doomed to his background. All I'm saying is you might as well check. You got everything to gain and nothing to lose.
Uncles.
Let me put it to you this way. You're sitting on the date, and during the date she goes, if you know her mother's in an insane asylum, you'll think about it one way. If you know nothing, you'll think, oh, she has a twitch. Okay. So I'm not sure what's right. But I can only tell you that it pays to know. I feel bad for her too, and I'll try to help her. I'm also trying to help you right now.
Targumunculus was also from the Romans, and he did a lot of idol worship, fame, magic, and he said, I want to be Jewish.
Fine. So it pays to find out about the family, and I think it's only fair when you give references about yourself, give a reference that knows you and that knows your family. Do me a favor, if you find out after 2 or 3 shidduchim that it's very strange but you're always getting no, so take a friend as an accomplice and tell him, call up all my references and find out what they're saying about me. Make believe you're calling to check me out. I've seen, and this isn't so uncommon, that people can sometimes say things, even not maliciously, people can sometimes say things that can doom your chances of getting married. There was a girl here in Israel who didn't have family, and her parents are a good friend of ours. So they called me up and they said they're trying to set her up with this guy. Please call up and check him out. So sometimes you can't refuse. So this is one of those situations where I couldn't refuse. So I said, okay, fine. I call up this guy's friend, and I ask him, could you tell me about the guy? So he says, well, he's not bad. He's not too boring. He's not the worst person to be around. Everything was a negation of bad. Like, okay, so I figured, you know what? I'll give this guy the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to say this is more reflective of the person describing him than him himself. I go on to this Mr. Number 2, who's supposed to know this guy. And all I can say is that after talking to these two people, I called the parents and I said, don't let your girl see this guy. This isn't for her. At some point you say, if these are his friends, if everyone he's giving me is describing him in a pretty derogatory way, then I have to assume that there's something wrong here. And you know what? There's a saying that says, if it quacks like a duck, and it flaps like a duck, and it swims like a duck, then everyone can tell you it's not a duck, but chances are it is a duck. At some point you say, fine, that's where things are pointing, that's what I'll have to assume the person is. So sometimes you have people maybe with good intentions, but they can say things that are pretty harmful. So if you feel like after one or two shidduchim, I wouldn't say two, after three shidduchim, you see that it isn't working, for some reason the girls are telling you no, so you should call up and find out. I once had a guy who I met, and I was very impressed with him, and then he heard I was dealing in shidduchim, so he gave me his everything about him, and I tried to set him up with a girl, and everything matched. It all made sense. And the girl's family was very excited when they heard the details about him. They just said, we want to check him out. They check him out and they come back to me and they say no. So I said, fine, I respect that. About 2 months later, a friend of this girl's calls me up and says, why didn't you go out with this guy? So I said, I don't know, you're her friend, you ask her. I have no idea. It seems like the girl had told her about the offer and then hadn't explained to her why she said no. So this friend calls up the girl and asks her, why didn't you go out with the guy? So she says, well, we called out and we verified about him. And this all came back to me. And it turns out that he never bothered mentioning that he was married for a month and a half and got divorced. So he didn't mention it to me either. I had no way of knowing. He got married once out in the United States, and I didn't know he was divorced. But his references didn't mince any words. They spoke about it. That's an extreme example, but in general, if you see that things aren't working out after a few times, then do this. Have a friend call up and hear what people are saying about you. Make sure your references are, without your references knowing, make sure they're really doing what's right on your behalf. Okay, you checked out the girl checked you out, the shatzon calls you up and says, it's a go. The girl will be happy to hear from you. So I'm going to say something, and I said it last time we had a dating series, and I'm going to tell it to you again, and this time I'm telling you, listen. This is what you have to do. And if you're not going to listen, then I don't think you belong in the dating scene. You owe the girl to call her up. You know, this seems obvious, right? Only guys who attended the last class, when I tried setting them up, I give them the girl's phone number, she's expecting their call, and a week later she calls me up and says, when's the guy going to call? So I call the guy up and he says, no, I changed my mind. So I think that's despicable. I'm sorry. A girl said yes, and you got the yes. You already said yes. You change your mind. You don't bother letting me know. You don't bother letting her know. If you were given the phone number, your job is to call the girl. That's it. You've already agreed to date number one. When you say yes, when you tell the shanchan yes, what you've agreed to is you've agreed to go on date number one, provided she says yes. And that's what you have to do. And if for whatever reason that's not going to happen, you better call out the shanchan. I can tell you that a person who plays such a trick on me, I don't think I'll ever set him up again. In my book, that person isn't the minch. I mean, that person needs someone else to set him up. I don't see any reason I should get involved with such a person. There's a limit to how low I can stoop. To me, that's beyond low. That's just wrong. The girl's sitting there waiting for your phone call. You have to call. Now, for some reason, guys don't like calling. And I understand that. We're going to discuss how you have the first conversation. But your job is to call. If you're ready to date, then your job is to make that first phone call. And the correct thing is that first phone call should be within 24 hours. If not that afternoon, that evening. And if for whatever reason you can't make it that evening, then the next day. But there's no reason a girl should have to wait more than 24 hours. And my personal recommendation is do it sooner rather than later. Yes?
Okay, I have a question. I had 2 dates with a woman. It was nice. She didn't want to see me a third time. I understood it. We had no chemistry. I've been fixed up with her roommate. I shouldn't say anything that I had a date with her. I don't know, because I don't want to... I don't know what...
Whatever you want makes no difference. There's no right or wrong. I mean, usually discreetness is better.
Okay.
Usually you lose nothing by being discreet. If it comes up, so it comes up. I don't think you stand to lose anything by being quiet. When you're going to make this first phone conversation, and this is going to be relevant to every other phone conversation, do it when you have privacy. Don't do it when all your roommates are listening. It's no one else's business. Don't do it on the phone down there where everyone who's doing laundry hears your conversation. Firstly, it's no one's business. There's no reason anyone should hear this conversation. Secondly, people have a tendency to comment. And if they won't comment during the conversation, they'll comment after the conversation. And if they won't comment to you, they'll comment to your roommate. But secondly is much less relevant than the firstly. Firstly, it's no one else's business. You're talking to a girl, call her up in your own privacy. Now, I come from a generation where we didn't all have cell phones. Once upon a time, just a little bit after the dinosaurs, there was this period when not everyone had cell phones. So we went to pay phones. And even if it was the middle of winter, so you didn't go to the payphone that was right near the yeshiva, you went and found a payphone that was more distant, and the one where you wouldn't have someone who would hear your conversation. So gentlemen, don't go to the one on the corner, and don't even go to the one that's on the next corner. I sometimes, on my way home, walk by guys and I hear all kinds of conversations as I'm standing waiting for the light. I'm not interested in hearing conversations, I walk away, but I don't think it's right. Use your intelligence, find a payphone that other people won't be around that payphone. If I have to stand on the corner waiting for the light to change colors up by convention, what am I supposed to do? So I walk far away as I can get that. I won't miss my light. But other people are not going to walk away. It's not right. You have a private conversation. It's not right to you. It's not right for the girl to do it in a place where other people will hear. Walk away.
There is a phone next to Angel's Bakery and it's behind the wall. So if you're there, you're a big chance nobody...
Shkach, that's a good place. I had people who couldn't find a place, or it was the peak of winter, so they called me up and we set them up with a phone in my house. I'm not offering that because if everyone who hears this is going to start calling me up, my house is Grand Central Station as it is. But if you're stuck, if you have a situation where you can't find a phone and you have to make a phone call, whatever, yeah, you could always come by and use the phone. I mean, but that shouldn't be your first choice for your sake and mine.
Holiday Inn has phone booths.
All right. You have a bunch of hotels around here that have phone booths. That's right. Just down the block. You go down across the street, you have a bunch of hotels on Herzl, and each one of them has public phones. That's excellent, right? And that's a shorter walk than to my house. But okay, fine. So you're going to make the first conversation. A, make sure that you're ready for it. If you're wiped or you're in a bad mood, like in the middle of a fast day, don't make that phone call. Wait till you've broken the fast and you feel like talking. B, ask her if it's convenient for her to talk. Maybe she's in the car and five people are hearing the conversation and she's embarrassed enough as it is that they all heard a guy call her cell phone. Maybe she's in the middle of her friend's engagement party. You can't know what's going on in her life when you call. So when you call... Or maybe she's... I hope not. So when you call, the first thing that's menschlich to do, if you ask me, is after introducing yourself, asking her, is it a convenient time to talk? And if she says no, then ask her when you could call. I think that it's a good idea to ask the shadchan, when he's setting you up, to ask him when you could call her. Now that's provided you've asked him when you gave him the green light. Meaning when you say yes, and hold forward the information to the girl... So ask him, could you find out also when would be a good time to call? If he comes back and tells you yes, and then you say, could you ask her when's a good time to call? That's not fair. You're making him work. He has to go back, call the girl, find out when's good for her, call you back, give you that information. Then it's not fair to the shadchan. So break your head, find out when you can get a hold of her. In today's day and age, it's easier because the girls have cell phones. In my time, most girls didn't have cell phones, so you used to call the house phone. And then you could spend days calling the house phone, hi, when can I talk to your sister, your daughter, whatever it is? Ah, she's not in. Call in an hour. You call in an hour. Ah, she's not back yet. Call in an hour. You call in an hour. It's a little late. Who told you to call this late? Okay, it was much more difficult. It was interesting. You got to know more about the family. But it wasn't so easy. And that's something which we'll talk about later, that when you can call the house phone, I recommend call the house phone. Don't call the cell phone. Hear who answers the phone, hear how they answer the phone, hear what's going on in the background in the house while they call her. You get a lot of information that way. So, well, you're dating the girl, you're contemplating marrying her. if they answered the phone and they let you hear it, they didn't put it on mute. That's their problem, not yours.
Same magic works both ways, no?
I don't think so, because here you're contemplating marrying into this family. You called just like any stranger would call. If they don't want you to hear what's going on, let them cover the receiver or put it on mute. If they didn't do that, there's a certain element where they forewent that privacy. You didn't call, and you didn't just walk and put your ear by the door. You called a legitimate phone call to talk to her. I think that's fair. You're making your first phone contact. So, of course, try to be in a cheerful mood. And after you've asked if it's a convenient time, so you got to make conversation, right? The first conversation doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be short. If it's somewhere between 45 seconds, a minute, to 2 minutes, that's reasonable. Preferably closer to 2 minutes. If for whatever reason you guys got into a conversation and went on for a half hour, 45 minutes, there's nothing wrong with that. Either way is fine. Your goal in the first conversation is two things. A, technically, to get information across. Where are we going to meet? And how will we recognize one another? Where, when, and how will we recognize one another? And B, if you can, it is good to have a conversation which will help her feel more comfortable. Meaning, us guys, if we know the girl, we don't know the girl, it doesn't really make a huge difference to most of us. I remember when I started dating, so I'd set up a place, and I didn't know that it was a place that 15 other guys would set up. So I'd show up to the place and see 15 girls standing there waiting. And then you start thinking, gee, I wonder which one it is. And then you start thinking, which one would I like it to be? So you start walking, and they're all looking, and they're also thinking the same thing. So don't do that. When you set up the first place to meet, try to find a place that people don't set up. The corner down here, by the way, Herzl Kiryat Moshe, there are many couples that meet there to this day. That's not a good place. Tachana Merkazit, not a good place. Binyanei HaUma, where they have those statues, that's where I met 15 girls. Not a good place. So you got to be more original than that. In front of Machon Meir isn't a good place either. One of the things you can talk about is the shadchan. There you have common ground. He's the one that set you up. So how do you know him? How was your day? Basically, you just got to try and get it to roll. One of the things that seems to work in America, and for some reason with Israeli girls doesn't work, is what interests you. Like, what are your interests? Where would you like to go out? For some reason with Israeli girls, they're like, what? I don't know why, but for some reason it's like not accepted in the first conversation to ask what interests you. Like that doesn't work with Israeli mentality. Here I talk from experience. Being there, tried that, didn't work, don't know why. But I can just tell you, it didn't work. So you're setting up where to meet. Recommended you set up a place where you're going to date. In the more modern crowds, it's acceptable that you're going to go eat something on a first date. In the more yeshivish crowds, more like Merkaz Harav, so then you're going to buy her a drink or something. You're not going on a marathon. So a date at Gan Sakher, if the weather's nice, the only major disadvantage is there are no bathrooms there. There is?
Yeah, you have to know.
Okay. In all my years of dating, I didn't know. Oh, where's the bathroom?
It's
up on the hill there, right, where they do drugs. I know. You don't want to go there at night. Yeah. I didn't mean to tell you where they do drugs, but on my dates, I got to see all kinds of things. I don't call that a public bathroom. You got to have a comfortable bathroom, a place where you could hopefully buy a drink, and a place where you could get away from the elements if it gets too cold in the winter. In the summer, you're okay. Gan Sakher has another disadvantage, that there are a lot of people walking around with dogs, and girls usually don't like dogs. So unless you have it in for the girl, which I hope you don't take her to Gan Sakher. It's not nice. By the way, if you're going to go to Center 1, so usually they up the heat there. And if you're not going to iron your shirt, and assume you're going to wear a sweater over your shirt without ironing it, it doesn't work because you're sitting there schwitzing like crazy. So choose a place which is comfortable. You're going to have that money in your pocket because the hotels charge like 15, 20 shekel a cup of Coke. So if you're going to go to a hotel, it's going to cost a lot of money. Yeah? Fine. So where can you go? I used to have a list. I don't remember. You can go here to Hebrew U. They have a free library. They have a free museum right near their library. They have a nice garden outside you could sit by. You could go to one of the hotels and sit in their lobby. But usually, if you're in a place where all you have to do is sit and talk, the date doesn't flow well. Suddenly, when you have to talk, you have nothing to talk about. And when you're walking, the conversation goes better. So you could go to Gan Sakher, you could go to Gan Avradin. Over there I don't think you have anything to buy to drink, if you're going to want to buy anything to drink. You could go for a walk here in Beit HaKerem. You could go for a walk in Me'ah Shearim.
What about the zoo?
The zoo is very expensive. I don't see why you should spend that kind of money. I mean, if you're holding by, you think you're going to marry the girl, you want to spend that kind of money, fine. But if you're just going on a first date, I wouldn't spend that kind of money. Why? What for? You walk through Me'ah Shearim, you get a very interesting tour, something very interesting. If you go to the Jewish Quarter, I always like dates at the Jewish Quarter. I figure if I got nothing else but a nice davening at the Kotel, I at least I got something out of the date. So why not? You might as well. Hopefully it'll be a nice date, even if you don't marry the girl. But you want to choose a place where you'll both be comfortable, and hopefully you'll have a public restroom and a place to drink. So, and a place to get away from elements. Do not count on walking. I once dated a girl who decided she was going to diet on our date. So she's huffing and puffing, jogging around, and I could barely keep up. That's not what you're doing on a date. If you're walking, you're walking leisurely and you're sitting down. If you're going on a date, then your goal is to talk. So you can walk a little bit, but you need a place where it's comfortable, it's convenient to sit down. So when you're factoring in a place before your first conversation, you got to have a place to sit. I remember one of the girls I called in the very beginning, so I call her up, and then I ask her, well, where would you like us to meet? So she says, where do you want to go? So I said, well, I'm new here, I don't know of any place. So she said, oh, so now it's the girl's job to decide where you date. She was very upset at me, like, why am I throwing the ball back to her? So I wasn't so stupid. I had a few places up my sleeve, but I didn't know which of them were good. So I said, okay. So you could offer. I think it's fair to ask. Do you have a preference? But you have to have something up your sleeve. You have to have you'd be prepared with, maybe we'll meet at the Jewish Quarter, or maybe we'll meet at the cafe up the block, Angels. You just know they close like 7:30, 8 o'clock. That's no place for a date. Up the block. Not the Angels, the coffee shop. They close very early. You can't really have, unless you start your date at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or 4 or 5. Whatever, but if you're starting at 7, they close either 7:30 or 8, they close very early. So you need a place, so you got to do your homework a little bit. So in the first phone conversation, you got to be prepared with all of that, and Bezalel Hashem, we'll pick up from here next time.